So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not sure quite what to do to make you sit down. The next speaker is not only an academic, he's also been the head regulator for energy and environment in energy in Sweden and the CEO of an energy company. His name is Thomas Kåberger. And please, thank you very much. Thomas, the floor is yours.
Thank you. What I'm going to try to do now is to describe the ongoing development on renewable energy technologies and industries in the world. And the background to this development is the fast learning resulting in decreased cost of renewables. This picture is from a book published by OECD in the year 2000 called Experience Curves for Energy Technology Policy. And this diagram was one of the key messages of this book. It is an illustration of experience curves where you have the experience, the cumulative electricity production using different technologies on this axis, and you have the cost of electricity generated on the other axis. It's called curves. It is curves if you have linear axis. Now we have a logarithmic scale, and therefore the curves have become straight lines. Making them into straight lines give you the idea that you may extrapolate the lines. And as you can see here, you have the immature technologies like solar PV technologies and wind power technologies, where the experience is at this stage in the 20th century not very large. And you have the mature technologies, natural gas and coal, further to the right. And you see that the slope of the curves for the immature new technologies are considerably steeper than for the conventional. And the conclusion that we are tempted to draw is that if we just subsidize these immature new technologies for a while they are still more expensive than conventional power sources, then soon they will drop in cost and become competitive. Another of my colleagues at Chalmers University actually used these data and suggested that if we all cooperated within the OECD countries to subsidize solar energy in the period until the beginning of the 2020s, we would have to pay a little extra for our electricity during this period, but in the end, we would have bought down the cost of solar PV technologies to the extent that they would be competitive with conventional energy. And if doing so, if we all collaborated in the OECD countries, the maximum extra cost for our electricity would be in the order of 0.1 US cent per kilowatt hour, something that did appear to be a reasonable sacrifice to make fossil fuel-based electricity generation obsolete. If we now look at what has happened in the last decade or the last decades, globally, we see the wind power development as the most surprisingly successful. In fact, this growth curve in the first 10 years of this century is so fast that I have failed to find any projection, plan, or scenario published in the 20th century that did manage to predict how fast it would be in the first decade. Does any of you know of a published scenario or plan for wind power that showed a steeper growth in the first 10 years of this decade? Greenpeace tried in 1998 to produce and publish a scenario for rapid wind power development. And it is close, but not even Greenpeace managed to design a scenario that showed faster growth in this decade than the actual development. And there is one single explanation. What has happened in the first 10 years of this century that no one dared to predict in the last century? Any idea? Well, the explanation is in this picture. It is that we have seen China going from having virtually no wind power as late as 2005 to being number one in the world just a couple of years later, and now far ahead of all others. The Chinese growth here was quite impressive. I used to make a joke that China was trying to make this curve bend backwards, which they probably would have liked to have done. But indeed, they have been installing more than one wind power plant every hour, day and night, all around the year for the last 5 years, and they're now well ahead of all others. And that, of course, has contributed to bring down the cost of wind power. And you may look at wind power on different scales. This is the investment cost per megawatt of generator capacity, which did drop for a few years, but then actually again started to rise for a couple of years and has now dropped again and continued to drop after 2012. But the cost per generator capacity is not the important thing. It's how much electricity you actually get. And one of the more impressive developments in this period has been that the actual electricity generated per megawatt of generator capacity has increased significantly. This is data from Siemens, who have been delivering wind power plants with 2.3 megawatt installed capacity for more than a decade. And what they show here is that if you take a wind power plant of the year model 2011 and you put it in exactly the same spot where you had a wind power plant with 2.3 megawatt generator capacity delivered in 2002, you will get almost 50% more electricity with the same wind resource, with the same spot, but with more efficient wind power plants, slightly larger turbines and more efficient turbine blades using more advanced technologies to reduce losses. Wind power plants have also become bigger, which is increasing the generator capacity, but also making the towers higher and with the turbines higher up in the air, higher up in the sky, the wind availability is higher and the electricity generated per megawatt is usually higher. And in addition, you can get more energy out of one site, one area available, which also reduces the cost per kilowatt hour. As wind power has also come, being developed for offshore use, it's remarkable that the capacity factor increases even further. And here you have data from Dong, the Danish power company that has quite a lot of offshore wind power in the world. And they reported in January and February, which year was it? I think it was 2014, that during these 2 months, they had a capacity factor of 70 and 71% on average on all their offshore wind power installations. And they used to tease me, as I was for a period director general of the Swedish Energy Agency, that said that that is better than Swedish nuclear reactors, which was at least in this period true for some of the older reactors. So just as Klaus Otto Wiener predicted in his 2000 book published by OECD, this learning curve has continued to almost along a straight line on average, and the costs have come down significantly. And you can look at it in the way that the industry and authorities report in different countries what the costs have come to. And here you have the American Department of Energy annual report showing in 2012 that the cost was at 4 cents per kilowatt hour, or the price of electricity purchased from wind power plants installed in 2012 was 4 cents per kilowatt hour. 1 year later, they reported an average payment of 2.5 cents per kilowatt hour, being slightly increased to 2.35 the year after. In India, in 2013, they reported that new wind onshore was now cheaper than new coal-fired power stations using imported coal. In Portugal, EDP reported that wind power onshore was now 20% cheaper than gas and one-third cheaper than coal, without a carbon price, just plain cost. And the Danish Energy Agency reported in the summer of 2014 that new wind power plants in Denmark onshore would now produce electricity at roughly half the cost of new gas or coal power stations in Denmark, with no coal pricing. And we just had an American report a couple of days ago saying again that US power companies now assessed wind power as also roughly, 25-30% cheaper per megawatt hour than new fossil, in this case gas-fired power. The solar development has been more dramatic when it comes to relative growth, but I know that there were at least some Germans in the 1970s who predicted that 50% of global electricity would be generated by solar by 2015. So here I don't dare to say that no one in the 20th century predicted the rapid growth, but it's still quite impressive with between 20 and 25% of all solar PV existing in the world having been installed in the last 12 months. That's the rate of growth that is ongoing. Here, the cost of buying down the price of solar has been largely carried by German households. The German feed-in tariff system that was introduced in the beginning of this century on a national level did result in a dramatic investment sequence in Germany. The initial cost of solar in Germany 15 years ago was very high. It was approximately, more than half a euro per kilowatt hour. And the German decision makers, when introducing this system, did overestimate the cost, which resulted in the price guaranteed to investors being so generous that it was very attractive to invest. A lot of people invested. They tried to lower the feed-in tariff year by year, but I think no one really expected the rate of investment to be as high as it was in Germany, and as a result, the ongoing transfer of payments from customers who have not installed solar PV rooftops to those who have is still significant and will be, because this is a guaranteed price to be paid to the early investors for 20 years. But what the German households have done is basically to save the world. They have brought down the cost of solar electricity to the extent that it is now a low-cost option available to all of us. We can all enjoy the result of what the German households have paid for. I have an English friend who said that he was facing the Chamber of Commerce in southern England, describing this development, and then saying that we should all be grateful to the Germans. We should forgive everything they've ever done. And he said quite a few agreed. Now, as the costs have come down, we see in the last couple of years a different picture. Regarding global investments, we see that China is now the country making the largest investments in solar. Last year, they built about 10 gigawatt. This year, they built approximately 10, 15 gigawatt already. They said a few months ago that they would get 17 gigawatt online this year. They said a couple of weeks ago they would get almost 22 gigawatt of new solar online in China this year alone, which is sort of what the global installation was just a few years ago. Number two is Japan, where The electric power companies are trying hard to resist all new renewables, but they can't stop solar rooftops. And we have the US also as now number three in annual investments in solar. One illustration of how the costs have come down is the way the German feed-in tariffs have been lowered year by year. As you see here, 50-60 euro cents per kilowatt hour for rooftop and ground-mounted PV installations in 2004, and now at the level of about 10 euro cents for ground-mounted solar PV installations. And it's now at a level where the feed-in tariffs, as they were, are not necessary. You can do rooftops substituting purchased electricity, and for the large installations, they now have entered into a procurement system instead of a feed-in tariff system. I think basically to avoid too much installations. And the cost have declined along approximately linear developments in this logarithmic experience curve illustration from Bloomberg. Again, there is claims in India now that solar is cheaper than electricity generated with imported Australian coal. Brazil has managed in procurement processes to get low-cost solar below $100 per megawatt hour at least. In Dubai, they had a rather exciting development last winter. They had decided they would build some solar PV installations, mainly for sort of environmental goodwill reasons. They thought 100 megawatt would be fine. They set off money in the budget, they did a procurement and negotiating process, and then when they were to sign the contract, which ended up at 5.8 cent per kilowatt hour, they realized, well, this was less than half of what we set off in the budget. Why not double the installation? And the selling company said, fine, we do 200. So they did 200 at 5.8 cent per kilowatt hour. And then the Dubai Energy and Water Company realized that this is cheaper than gas power. We can do any amount. But then someone told the director that he had to ask the government before he took that decision. So he went to the government, and the government came back with a new target of 3 gigawatt of solar in Dubai. Dubai has relatively cheap gas available, but they also have a lot of sun. American contracts are also now signed and reported with solar prices at 4 cents per kilowatt hour. And there is even the US finance advisor Lesage saying that now large solar and wind is competitive with gas-fired power in many parts of the US. And I think the final line there is quite good. We used to say one day solar and wind would be competitive with conventional power. Well, now is someday. My colleague who made this prediction on what the cost would be if you try to buy down the cost of solar, we did a little rough evaluation of whether he was making a good prediction or not, and we assumed that this has now not been shared by all OECD households or electricity consumers, but by Germany alone. And Germany, they have roughly 1/20 of OECD electricity consumption. The expected result then, 20 times 0.1 US cent, would be 2 cent per kilowatt hour. But the Germans are paying approximately twice as much now in subsidies to solar on their electricity bills. But, well, it's not too bad. 4 US cent is about 2 cents, plus the profits that the German households who have invested in solar have enjoyed, and also a slight extra cost, because this has now been achieved about 5-10 years faster than anticipated in this model. So my colleague passed. We said it was okay. It wasn't too bad, the prediction you made. And one of the results is that solar rooftops are now in many parts of the world competitive with buying electricity from the grid. Buying electricity from the grid is, as you all know, more expensive than buying electricity to the grid from large producers. But this is also the advantage of solar PV technologies, that they have characteristics that makes it possible to place them where the consumption is. And solar rooftops are now built in the US at a rate of about one rooftop every 3 minutes. In Japan, there is more than one solar rooftop installed every 2 minutes since a couple of years. And maybe the most enjoyable of all for the world is that in Bangladesh, there's about one solar household or one household getting solar electricity every minute. And here it's often households that would not have access to electricity without the solar energy technology. They are now for the first time getting an opportunity to have electric lighting, to have charge their mobile phones, listen to radio and see television, and maybe have a refrigerator. And this is done now without subsidies, because the cost of solar systems have come down thanks to the German households paying for this installation. And one of my German friends said that the German feed-in tariff is the most cost-efficient foreign aid project Germany has ever engaged in. It wasn't meant that way, but it is. But I actually found out that some of the people arguing in favor of the feed-in tariff 15, 20 years ago in the German parliament actually used this argument as one of the arguments to make this effort in Germany. In Japan, we see that even though solar costs are much higher in Japan than in Germany or Sweden, costs are coming down. You have a local learning process in addition to the global learning in the industry producing the equipment. And we have now in Japan passed the level also where solar rooftops are competitive with buying electricity from the grid. And if we look at the result on a national level, one of the more significant news last year that was not reported in mass media as much as the catastrophes and bad news was that in China, there was actually a decrease in the electricity generation from fossil fuels last year compared to 1 year before. China decreased the electricity production using fossil fuels in 2014 compared to 2013. There was a dramatic increase in hydropower, most of which was due to new installations, but some was due to 2014 being a year with a lot of rain. Nuclear increased as much as solar, and wind increased even more, and there was a biomass increase of approximately 10 terawatt hours. Germany continued its development, reducing gas, hard coal, lignite, and a little bit nuclear, increasing wind, solar, biomass, and a slight decrease in hydro. United Kingdom decreased its fossil-based electricity generation, decreased nuclear, increased renewables, and in case of Britain, increased imports. Japan had an increase in renewables, a decrease in fossil and nuclear generation. And if we look at the net installation in Europe last year, wind was the largest, solar the second, biomass the third, hydro next, whilst fossil fuels decreased in electricity generating capacity. Now it's capacity. As a result, we've seen electricity prices decreasing. The support schemes and the lowered cost of renewables have resulted in more renewables coming online with low marginal costs, displacing the most expensive electricity generation. And if we look at the way electricity prices in Europe have developed in the last few years, you see a dramatic decrease. This is electricity for delivery in 2017 in Germany, how the price has evolved from 2011 until 2015. And it has roughly halved from 35 to a little more than 65 to a little more than 30 euros per megawatt hour. A dramatic decrease in the wholesale market price of electricity, with some dramatic effects on the incumbent power industry. The Economist carried this article a couple of years ago, saying that European power company had lost €500 billion in value. Since then, we have seen also in the US the Energy Future Holdings going bankrupt, a company developed with the 20th century concept of large thermal power plants being cheap and stable. That was true in the 20th century. It's no longer true. In Europe, we have GDS Suez writing off $20 billion, RWE posing loss, Vattenfall writing off some $4 billion or euros in the summer, and EDF predicted to lose about 9 billion euros this year. 5 minutes?
Yes. Yeah.
In addition to the renewable electricity supply, there are other important technologies evolving at just about the same enjoyable rate. Batteries have been developed for phones and laptop computers for the last 20 years. They've reached a level now where it's possible to produce a high-performing car. Elon Musk has done it with the Tesla car. It is a car that's wonderful to drive. The only bad thing with it is that it's still a little expensive. But in Norway, people are rich, so they were proud to sell 1,433 Teslas in Norway in 2013. What was even more remarkable was that in March alone, 2014, they sold 1,493 Teslas, making it the most sold car ever in a month in Norway, beating Ford Sierra from 1986, who managed to sell almost as many in 1 month. Battery costs have come down. They will continue to come down. You can enjoy the fact that now we have a linear scale, so the learning curve is actually a curve. But predictions are that you will come down to the order of $150 per storable kilowatt hour quite soon. And we see a development that was unthinkable a few years ago. There were people who believed in electric cars, but not many who believed in electric ferries. There is now a ferry in Norway running on electricity, charging at the end points. And I used to say, or I did say in a couple of panel discussions a few years ago, that at least battery aviation was not thinkable. And one polite person in the audience came to me afterwards and told me, don't be so sure, have a look at this YouTube clip. And I saw that there was in China the production already of a battery airplane. And now we hear that Airbus is going to start producing a two-seated training aircraft from 2016. It can be done. It's not impossible. A result of this, I think, is that the oil price will stay low, and it is influenced by the fact that the oil exporting countries understand that new technologies may outcompete them. We heard yesterday of hoteling rule, with the idea that you should price oil so that you can get rid of it before the backstop technology comes in. And I think that is what we have seen. At least it's not lowered oil prices that have lowered the cost of electricity, because electricity prices came down before the oil price came down. I do believe instead that the oil exporting countries are willing to give up some of their rents in order to be able to deliver the electricity before solar energy becomes the major source of electricity. And one way of, see if I can show you this little interview with the with the oil minister, the Saudi oil minister, when he enters the OPEC meeting in Vienna a couple of months ago, and he is interviewed.
What, you want their view on shale oil?
No. He's interviewed by.
We'd like to hear from the oil executives over the next 2 days.
What do they think?
by a typical oil journalist who want him to answer.
We'd like to hear from the oil executives over the next 2 days.
What do they think the future holds?
Yeah. What, you want their view on shale oil?
No. On the whole energy spectrum.
Yeah. What do you think is interesting that's going on right now in the energy spectrum?
Solar energy.
You think it's a... I know you, it's an opportunity for Saudi Arabia.
It's an opportunity for everybody.
So he's asked, what's this interesting? And says, is it interested in what's happening in the energy sector? And then he asks, oh, you're interested in shale oil and shale gas? No, the whole picture. What then do you hope to hear about? Solar energy, he says. Oh, says this journalist, is that an opportunity for Saudi Arabia? It's an opportunity for everybody. So he's certainly aware. And another Bloomberg headline from this spring, I think, may appear quite dramatic to many people in the oil and fossil industry, where they conclude that fossil fuels just lost the race against renewables. This is the beginning of the end. And this is the end. Thank you.